I would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. This morning, our radio ministry is sponsored by Neil Papenberger in honor of Debbie's birthday, and our altar flowers are provided by Troy and Terry Nicholson in honor of Amy's birthday. Also, this week we have an anniversary. Charles and Sharon Walter have an anniversary on the 26th, and Kevin Hastings has a birthday on the 28th. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. Our scripture this morning will be John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51, found on page 1050 in your pew Bibles. And our sermon today will be entitled Mission Impossible by Pastor Angel Absher. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Word of God for the people of God. There is a song by Casting Crowns, "Love Them Like Jesus." Is that a mission that is possible for us? I believe it is. And as Jesus ascended to his Father, he told his disciples then and us now, through the reading of the Word, that we can do even greater things than he had done in his name. I know you all have heard me say this time and time again, but the sad part is that we don't believe it. We believe that those times ended with the apostles, that those times ended in the book of Acts, that those times ended in the early church. And beloved, they did not. The song by Casting Crowns, which we will hear at the end of my message, part of it says, "You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to make sense of it all. You're desperate for hope. Darkness is clouding their view. They're looking to you." How many in this world right now are desperate for hope, are looking to us as Christians for hope? Now, as they're looking to us, they're also challenging us. They're looking at us. They're throwing stones if they're not believers, because they want to see if the faith that we claim to have is rock solid. Can it hold up? Can it stand the test of time? Are we as judgmental as people believe us to be? It says, "Just love them like Jesus." Jesus loved unconditionally. When Jesus walked this earth, the only people that he showed any contempt for was the ones who tried to be a stumbling block for others' faith. It wasn't the disbelief of the Pharisees that troubled him, or the Sadducees. It was when they tried to be a stumbling block for someone else's faith, or when they tried to take advantage of the poor, when they went into the temple and tried to do things that were not fair to the poor. Just love them like Jesus. Carry them to him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And here is the key, beloved. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. I believe with every aspect of my being that when I am sitting with someone who is deeply hurting, it has nothing to do with all of my training. It has nothing to do with all of the counseling background, with all of the ministry training. What it has to do with is Christ in me rises up because the person across from me is in need. The Word tells us when we are witnessing to someone and we know not what to say, words will be given to us if they are necessary. It says, just know that he loves them and stand by their side. Love them like Jesus. Now that is a mission that is possible. Can we love as unconditionally as Jesus? No. Can we stop ourselves from sometimes having judgment that clouds our view? No. But can we be a witness for Jesus Christ? Can we come alongside of all the hurting people in this world and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all we have to do is stand beside them and Jesus will shine through us to them? How many of you here today believe that you don't even have to say a word? All you have to do is be present in their time of need and Jesus will work through you. If you don't, come and see me, because I will help you to believe that. Because in this ever-present darkness, that is going to be needed more and more and more. You will do greater works than me because I go to the Father. How is it possible that we will do greater works than Jesus? Jesus has always been. In the first chapter of John, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But when Jesus was on earth in human form, his influence was limited. And then it became multiplied, magnified, when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he left with us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Guide, the One that indwells within each of us. His influence was multiplied and became much more powerful. Our Lord's influence works through each and every one of us. Jesus not only spoke about the power to be like him in John, but it's mentioned in each and every one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We give a lot of credence to his last words. We believe that what people said during their dying moments, during their last words, is indeed important. Once upon a time, when someone was upon their deathbed and they said, I see my loved one, I see a river, I see angels, I see Jesus. The medical community said that's a morphine talking. Now they know different. I have been present well over 100 times. And now the medical community steps back and says, you're on, chap. You're on, chaplain. You're on, pastor. They know something incredible is happening in that person's life. I'm telling you, beloved, death is every bit as beautiful and as much a miracle as birth is. When people say to me that they see their loved one, that they see a river, that they see Jesus, that they see an angel, I have no doubt that they see that. I pray for people to see a glimpse of glory, and I pray that they are able to tell their families about it. That their families are comforted by knowing where they are going. And that those who may not yet believe are powerfully witnessed to through those last words. Jesus' last words upon the cross was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he told us that he was leaving a precious gift with us, the Holy Spirit. And that through the Holy Spirit, we would do even greater things than he did in his name. We have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to transform this world for Jesus. Maybe we're not going to do huge miracles, but every time we comfort a person, in the name of Jesus Christ, every time we remind a person that they are forgiven in the name of Jesus, every time we give some food to a hungry person, every time we sit with someone who is lonely or sick, we are Jesus with skin on. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, he was giving a great commission. It wasn't a great reflection. It was a great commission. It was a mandate. Go do these things. We don't get to come in here and sit on our backsides and get entertained and leave and complain about everything we didn't like in the service. Well, that's what I've been told, you know. Methodist service is supposed to be exactly an hour long, and nobody's supposed to sit in my seat. And we go, and we listen, and we watch, and then we all go out to eat, and we discuss what we didn't like. Okay, we're throwing all that away, and we're starting fresh now. We got this silly little COVID thing in our way, so it's really hard to go and fulfill the mandate. But we're finding new creative ways to do it. We got these wonderful tech people up here who are putting our service out on the radio, out on YouTube. We've got wonderful people volunteering in the hospital. We've got people inviting people to church, and they're coming in here. And that is amazing. Nikki's got wonderful ideas to reach children. We've got a Bible study that is going to enrich people's lives. We are finding creative ways to fulfill that mandate in the midst of a pandemic. And I applaud you all for that, because we could just sit back and rest on our haunches. What do you want from us, preacher? Don't you know there is a pandemic going on? What do you expect? We can't do much right now. But instead I hear that you're calling people, that you're sending cards, that you're inviting people to church, that you're calling me and giving me suggestions on doing things, that when I even mention to someone that I'm going to fill these little bags up and give them to people, you're bringing me in toothpaste and toothbrushes so that we can take care of the least of these. I love the story found in the first chapter of Acts. Jesus ascending into heaven, and Jesus' followers are looking up in awe. And Jesus is telling his followers, go and be my witness. Acts 1:8. Power will come upon you. You will be my witness. And you notice that he starts off with what is closest to him and then moves out into Judea and Samaria and all of the world. But the most important word in that sentence is be. Go and be my witness. Go and love one another. Time and time and time again, I hear from those who are struggling with whether or not they even want to look at our face. But Pastor, y'all are mean to each other. Y'all are so judgmental. Y'all don't like these kind of people who do this. And y'all think you're better. Now, that's not all of us. I know that. I know that. I know that's not us in this church. Because I can look out on this congregation now. And I know the hearts of all of you. There's a couple here that I might not know real well, but I know who you came with. So I know your hearts. But as a whole, the ones sitting on the line that they don't know what to believe are feeling like, I don't want to take that step. I don't want to investigate more. I don't want to do this. Because you all are mean to each other. You all judge each other. You all say this person and that person isn't worth the love of God. They shouldn't be in church. I invite us all to come before the Father and ask Him how to deal with those things. Because I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ Himself would be right where the addict is. He would be right where there's a gathering of GBLT and questioning. He would be right where the people who were struggling the most, and those of us who occasionally get caught up in judgment of one form or another, and we all do at some point, He would be right there with us saying, come here, come on, come here. And He'd hold us for a few minutes until all of that faded away, because all of that comes from fear. There are two basic emotions, fear and love. And when we judge another person, it's because there is some fear in our heart. And He'd say, come here, come here. And He'd sit with us for long enough that fear dissipated and we would be so full of His love that we could go out and just be His witness. And that love would radiate off of us to others. And that's what I'm asking. Spend that time with Him through the Word, through Bible studies, through evening groups, through Sunday school. There's two Sunday school classes now. One, my bad. Anyway, go to Go to the Sunday school class. Go to the evening Thursday night one. If you've got an idea for something on your own, do that. Next month, we'll start the prayer meeting up again. Just our church. That's all we need, is just for us to be praying. Let's dispel all of that stuff that keep us separated from one another. I know that the word witness conjures up negative images, but a witness is simply someone who is proclaiming, either by their very presence or by what they're saying, is proclaiming the beliefs of another. The more that I read the Bible and the teachings of Jesus, the more that I see Christianity spreads more through love and witness than it does through coercion or force. 1 Peter 3:15 says it well, "Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence." It is so simple. We bring people to the foot of the cross. We love them. We let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. And we let the Holy Spirit do the changing. That's the kingdom of heaven here on earth. If you are looking for more motivation, read the last words in the chapter of John. In the final chapter, we read that Jesus was eating breakfast with Peter, and Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter, somewhat surprised by the question, said, Of course I love you, Lord." And Jesus then said, "Then feed my sheep." What I love about the last part of John is Jesus knew that Peter had denied him three times. And three times, Jesus allowed Peter to make amends for what he had done. When we have done something untoward, when we have sinned, when we have done wrong, when we come with an open heart, with a heavy conscience to our Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak directly to each one of us and show us how we can change our lives, how we can do better, how we can make amends for the wrong that we have done, how we can shift from the sinful life that we are now living. That's the Holy Spirit's place. We as Christians are called to love people as they make those changes, not to browbeat them. I know that sometimes I say things during a service that don't come out quite right when I get a little passionate. I know I said something in a couple of services about, I don't care if you drink or smoke or have sex before you're married. Well, I do care, because I know that some of the things that we do can hurt our relationship with God. I believe that the Ten Commandments are guardrails, that they are put in place because God the Father knew that if we lie about someone, murder someone, commit adultery, fornication, or anything else, it is going to harm our relationship with Him. It is going to hurt us deeply. What I was saying was, what I care about most is, do you know my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was born to save this world. He came to reconcile us unto the Father. Our Father is so holy, so good, that we cannot stand before Him tainted with sin, and each and every one of us are tainted with sin. Each and every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and each and every one of us needs God's forgiveness. And we receive that through Jesus Christ. That's what I care about the most, is do you know my Lord and Savior? And don't wait till you have it all together to come to church. Because I keep hearing people say, I can't come to church because I'm drinking, because I'm living with my girlfriend. Those are things that you need to work on, yes. But please do not allow them to stand in your way of coming to know my Lord and Savior better. For one thing, if you're having an issue with, let's just say, drinking, you can't do it on your own. I remember my son, of all people, who knew the Lord and Savior so well that he had actually seen an angel when he called for him, saying, Mom, I can't come to church. I have to get right with God first. Beloved, that's impossible. The possible mission is coming through the doors, being loved by a church family. Love them like Jesus. That is mission possible. That is our mission. We can't get right. We can't be holy, sanctified, set apart without Jesus Christ. We need each other as the church. We need Jesus to do that. So you can't wait until you get everything right to come through the doors. You need help doing it. I was telling someone that one aspect of my call is that frequently, if we're born and raised in the church, we don't think that we have a testimony. And beloved, you do. You have a powerful testimony. You have a testimony on how you have learned to get along in the church. How God has kept you in this Christian walk. And more importantly, as you come closer and closer to one another, trusting that you can go to each other and share your prayer concerns with each other and trust another human being to pray for you as you come closer to God. Because if we sit here and act like we have it all together and the new person comes in the door, they're going to say, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I can't be that. I can't do that. If we are real and transparent, I love Jesus with all my heart. I've been going to church 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and I still struggle. This is my home. I love these people. I struggle sometimes. And I go to somebody in here and I ask for help with my struggle. Then the people coming in the door say, okay, this Christianity thing just might work for me. That in and of itself is a louder witness than anything else we could possibly do. Love them like Jesus is our mission.